Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
This is the final Sunday, Lord's Day, of the 40 days of Pascha, called the Sunday of the Blind Man because of the gospel reading from the Gospel of John. It's so easy for people to be blind to the truth about themselves. It's not hard to notice when others don't see the truth about what they do. But it's often very difficult to notice our own blindness. If we're honest, we'll acknowledge that we're quite skilled at shutting our eyes to uncomfortable truths. That shouldn't be surprising, for we are inhabitants of a world darkened by sin and death. Like the man in today's gospel lesson, we're all blind to some degree because we lack full spiritual clarity and we simply don't have the ability to see the truth perfectly. Unfortunately, we often prefer the darkness of our impaired vision to the brilliant light of Christ's empty tomb. The blind man in today's gospel reading didn't even know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God at the time of the miracle. He apparently didn't even ask him for healing. Instead, the Savior was simply doing the work of his Father as the light of the cosmos when he restored the man's sight. In this gospel reading, our Lord says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But in the Greek, the word for world is cosmos. You'll oftentimes hear me substitute cosmos for world, even in the prayers of the liturgy. And it takes on a whole greater significance if you were to read this verse without translating the word that we use in English for world. We're not talking about the planet Earth. You say world, you think you're talking about Earth. But that's not what cosmos means. We get the word cosmetics from cosmos. Arrangement, putting things in order. The cosmos is the order of things. It's not a place. It's just the order of things. That's how the ancient Greek philosophers understood cosmos. As long as I am in the cosmos, I am the light of the cosmos. Takes on a different meaning. The healing of the blind man is an icon of who Christ is, a sign of what happens when the Son of God shares his life with us. Christ spat into the ground and anointed the man's eyes with the clay that he made and told him to wash. These details reflect that the Lord in his incarnation truly entered into our life as the God-man, becoming in his humanity one of us who were created from the dust of the earth, even as he remains fully divine. It is through the washing of baptism that we put him on like a garment and enter into his death in order to rise to the new life for which he created us in the first place. His glorious resurrection on the third day is the fulfillment of his restoration and healing of humanity in the divine image and likeness. In him, our blindness dies that his words may be fulfilled in us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Remember how dark it was at the Pascha service when a single candle was lit and we heard the words, come receive the light from the light and glorify Christ who is risen from the dead. And then after we sang the Lord's resurrection outside and processed by candlelight, we returned into a brilliantly lit church all decked out in white. Not only is Pascha a celebration of Christ's resurrection, but also of our own resurrection through him. And that resurrection is not simply a future hope, but already a present reality when we find healing from the blinding power of sin and death in our lives. His resurrection has made it possible for us to participate in the light-filled joy of holiness for which he breathed life into us in the first place. It has opened the eyes of our souls to his glory. Our apostle reading this morning provides us with another image, another icon of what it looks like when darkness is overcome by light. The Roman jailer was ready to commit suicide rather than endure the penalty that awaited him for letting his prisoners escape after that earthquake. In the brutal world of the Roman Empire, a cruel death awaited him for losing his captives. So the man was shocked when St. Paul shouted out for him not to hurt himself, that they're still here, even though the gates were opened. St. Paul assured them that they were all still in their cells. So he asked how to find salvation. Christ's resurrection destroyed the prison of Hades. It opened its doors and set its prisoners free. Now in this miracle, a man who was literally a slave to death had the eye of his soul opened to the light. He was set free from despair, received the washing of baptism, and began a new life as a Christian. The jailer may have known nothing about Jesus Christ before that earthquake, even as the blind man did not know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God until after his sight was restored. One said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the other asked, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Here we see that true spiritual knowledge of Christ is Christ himself. By his merciful initiative, he enables us to participate in him, to experience and know him by grace. The Lord gave neither of these men mere ideas, rules, or feelings, information. No, he made them true participants in a life-changing spiritual truth in his own divine energies. He is the light that they beheld, the light of the cosmos. He released them from the dark prisons they had known. In these last days of the season of Pascha, we must learn from their examples to open the eyes of our souls as fully as possible to the healing light of the Savior. None of us has perfect knowledge of our own sins, but we can all name some fairly obvious ways in which blindness has remained in us. By virtue of putting on Christ in baptism and being filled with the Holy Spirit in chrismation, we all have the spiritual clarity to know generally in what ways we have chosen to remain in the dark prison of the tomb. The good news of Pascha is that Christ has shattered the doors and the chains of that prison, and upon those in the tombs, he has bestowed life. He has opened the eyes of us who had previously been blind. He has become one of us so fully that he has made even death itself a passageway to life. He has made even the darkest night radiant with the light of his divine glory, for he is light of light, true God of true God. As hard as it may be to believe, though, the Lord enables each one of us not only to behold his holy light, but also to shine with that same holy light. The more we embrace him through faith, love, and repentance, the clearer vision we'll have of the remaining spots of darkness in our lives. Keep in mind that the great saints don't pat themselves on the back about becoming more holy. Quite the contrary. They're all the more aware of their own sins and their constant need for God's mercy. They know the truth about themselves more clearly before the infinite holiness of God, which inspires them to deep humility. We must not fall prey then to the temptation of discouragement when we catch a glimpse of the darkness that is still in us. Due to our pride, we may want to abandon the serious pursuit of the Christian life when growing spiritual health enables us to see our own sinfulness more clearly. That's the problem with having better vision. We may not like what we see. Due to our sloth and laziness, we may want to put aside prayer, fasting, forgiveness, serving our neighbors, or other spiritual works, because they require effort, and we don't do them particularly well. And the more we advance in them, the more we will see how much room we have for growth. When such temptations arise, we must remember that our goal is not to accomplish anything that can be measured according to the standards of this world, for we seek to experience something different from anything else in this life. We seek to behold the divine glory as we share in the life of Christ. It's an eternal goal, a transcendent reality that cannot be compared with anything else. It is true, real spiritual experience and knowledge. The full opening of our spiritual eyes is another way of speaking of the purity of heart that, as Christ said, enables us to see God. Our awareness of the darkness in our lives is simply a realistic reminder that we have a long way to go in the journey to deification, theosis. Instead of giving up, though, we must use our failings and struggles as inspirations to press on in obedience to the only one who has conquered sin and death, the only one who has united divinity and humanity in his own person as Theanthropos, the God-man. He is the cosmic light shining in the darkness of the cosmos and of this world and of our own sick and weak souls. Though it's not easy, we must continue to do whatever it takes to open ourselves more fully to his brilliant light. We are among those who have beheld the glory of his resurrection. For us, returning to the dark prison of the tomb just isn't an option. Instead, we must keep moving further into the light, into him, trusting that he is still at work, giving sight to the blind and setting free the prisoners of sin and death. And that includes you and me. One of my favorite quotations from Saint Ephrem the Syrian. We all love his Lenten prayer, but I love what he had to say about the pool of Siloam and today's gospel reading. In the form of a prayer, he says, "O Lord, we cannot go to the pool of Siloam to which you sent the blind man, but we have the chalice of your precious blood, filled with life and light. The more we receive of it, the purer we are." So the more often we receive Holy Communion, the Eucharist, with prayerful preparation, the more we are filled with the cosmic, uncreated light of the God-man Christ, and the more brightly we shall shine with the everlasting life that already has begun within us. For as our Lord says to us in the liturgy of St. Basil, do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death, you confess my resurrection. Christ is risen.
Amen.